I apologize for the, Jesse came to me and he said, Dad, we can't control Mom. We can't turn her down. We can't do nothing. And I'm thinking, oh, man, because you don't understand. See, to do some of this, we had to move some electrical. And in the process, I put a big rack in here with the amplifiers and all that. Well, when I moved it, they unplugged. I did that a while back and didn't label where things went. So I crossed to, that's all that happened. We just had to cross them back here, uncross them back here and get it all back. But so just, you know, again, please bear with us. You know, if you got find a little dust, don't go getting upset about it. It's blessed dust. Okay? We have blessed it. Just look at it that way. Hallelujah. And one more thing before I forget again, we have got several stacks of children's chairs. If you've been through the section over here, you'll see them stacked off to the side. The ones that are in the aisle, alleyway there, well, alley, it's an aisle, they're up for grabs. I'm going to just let you have them. I'm not cleaning them. You take them as they are. You can knock the dust off, but they're free. Okay, if you want them, they're the pink, or not pink, the pea green, the orange, I think there might be a blue and a yellow one, but they're the ones that you see. The littler ones that are behind the wall, we're keeping. So the ones that are up front are fair game. And if you want one, take it. If you want them all, take them. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, today's message is actually kind of appropriate. I didn't even really think a whole lot about it. You know, even this morning, I stepped outside, you know, a couple mornings here. It's not been exactly what you call real warm. You step out, I was reading 39 out at the house a couple mornings. I'm like, okay, that's still kind of cool. But then it would warm up through the day. But I stepped out this morning. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I look down and my crocuses are blooming along my sidewalk. And I walk out to my truck and I'm not slipping on ice or sliding in the mud, and how warm it was. And we all know why, don't we? Because it's spring. See, God promised us it would always come. I wasn't just being upbeat about winter. I was standing on a promise of God. Because otherwise, I was going to drive myself nuts. If you keep thinking about the cold, 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 yeah, I don't care if they are calling for a snow flurry coming up. Who cares? It will melt. It won't last. It'll be like a snow in North Carolina. It will disappear quickly. If you've never been down south, if you get a quarter of an inch of snow, they shut down the highways. Because even the northerners that are down there forget how to drive. I think they actually just choose to stay off the road because of all the southerners that don't know. But this morning, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Before we get rolling, let's bless this message. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the seed that it is, that it gets into our lives, that it helps us produce much fruit, and it brings life to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 8, and it might help if I actually get there. And let's go to verse 22. Many of you have heard it many times over. You probably say, what's the big deal? Verse 22, God is now talking. This is a promise to Noah from God. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That's a real interesting concept, isn't it? I want you to notice God only split things up into twos. We've got it split up into fours. We got four seasons. God's got two. Winter and summer. That's it for God. He doesn't have a transitional period. It's just part of that period. Seed time is the same thing. And I understand. I've heard messages on this and even thought of it and even said it myself. Because we all know, has anybody here ever planted a seed? Let me see a show of hands. So I know if you've never planted a seed. All right. Maybe one of you that hasn't ever planted a seed. We all know that when you put that seed in the ground, you don't come back out the next morning, unlike Jack and the Beanstalk, and you've suddenly got a beanstalk. It takes time. And God said in seed time included all of this. So in seed time, that's the time to till the ground, time to get it prepped. You'll start noticing now that it's drying out and warming up, you'll start seeing farmers in their fields, preparing their fields. Me, I'm trying right now to get my garden area around. There used to be a barn sitting on it, so I'm digging up all kinds of treasures. But there's a time. And then you put the seed in the ground. God said, as long as the earth remains. Okay, the fact that we're still here today should tell us the earth remains, right? So if anybody's going to get worried, stop. This is a promise from God. As long as the earth is here, these seasons will remain. Now, I am going to throw this sidebar in there because people would, well, what about famines? He didn't say there wasn't going to be famines around the world because Jesus promised us in Matthew that you will hear of famines and pestilences. Okay? But the earth will have its seasons. It will produce. It will take the time for seeds to drop and to reproduce. Everything on the planet, except for the rocks, were created to do that. Plants do it. Birds do it. Animals do it. We do it. We procreate. Every last one of us was given the command to fulfill, fill the earth, refill the earth, replenish the earth. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Whoops. Isn't it funny how you get just within a page or two of your Bible and it decides to skip four pages? All right, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's some things you need to understand about seeds. Inside of every seed, there's life. Okay? That came from a living plant. Now today, we're talking, of course, about being Christians and sowing the seed of Christ. I'm not talking to you about money. I'm not talking, and I am going to use the metaphor of sowing gardens and fields. But we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about reproducing Christians. Sheep reproduce sheep. We do understand that, right? I heard, because here's the thing. I heard somebody one time point out, well, that's the pastor's job is to build the church. You know, when pastors get hold of sheep, that's a perversion, right? Are you following? Sheep reproduce sheep. Yeah, it's my job as a Christian to go out and tell people, but it's your job too. Every last one of us have a purpose. I got to talk, and what kind of really was spurring this, I got to talk to a guy today, this week, and I was working on the message before, but this just really ties in good. And he told me, he says, you know, I've often wondered, God, he says, I still don't understand my purpose. And some of you may be in the same boat. You don't understand your purpose here. A lot of us like to think, oh, well, we've got to be the next Billy Graham. Or we got to be Dr. Livingston. Go over in Africa, in the deepest, darkest Africa, and preach the gospel. But the truth of the matter is, and I pointed this out to him, I said, let me ask you a question, brother. How many people a day do you see in your business? His eyes lit up. It hit him. he is in his field. Okay? You may very well be in your field. You may be doing, and God will keep moving you through things. Don't sit there and think, oh man, I hate my job. Is this really where I got to be stuck? No. God will take you on through, but where you are now is where he wants you. He's got a plan for your life. And your life does not necessarily involve filling stadiums full of thousands of people and leading them to the Lord. Because here's an eye-opener and a revelation, folks. Billy Graham reaped the harvest. Do you understand? Now, this spring is going to be an awesome time for you to experience this. Pay attention to the size of the grain drills that are out in the fields. Then come harvest time, pay attention to the size of the combine. The combine dwarfs the drill and the tractor. The combine takes in more than the drill's putting in. But somebody had to take the time on the smaller level to sow the seed. Are you following me? We all think that we got to be up here on a pulpit preaching on, we got to have a TV show. We've got to have a radio show. No, you don't. If you can minister to the person, the checkout girl at the grocery store, that's one seed. That is no different than one kernel of corn in the ground, which will produce a harvest of 100-fold. One seed. And all you did was sow just a seed of the Word of God. Somebody, Billy Graham was the combine. Somebody sowed those seeds. Somebody else sowed the seed to get that person to that crusade. Because have you figured out, unless you got beer, naked women, and mud trucks, you ain't getting sinners into a coliseum. I'm just going to be honest, right? You do not get sinners to come to church in a football stadium unless there's the seed planted in them. That's why you saw thousands upon thousands of people getting saved and receiving Christ. It's because people just like you told them about God's love. You ministered God's love. And, well, I didn't do nothing. I just baked them a loaf of bread and took it to them and said, God bless you. Ding, 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 ding. And you didn't think you were ministering. You didn't think what you were doing was helping anywhere. And the truth of the matter is, they would have never received their salvation had you not done that one simple act. Oh, but Pastor, I still think God's called me for greater things. Maybe he has. Maybe you're Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know. But I'm going to promise you this much. I think God gets more done with his army that can sneak in and out. With his army that can walk into the department store and minister to the person. Because if we go in as a group and start preaching the gospel, they're going to call the cops. I promise. Because Christians are nuts, right? We're Fruit Loops. We're Frosted Flakes. Holy Rollers, whatever else you want to come up with. They will find a reason, and then we're disturbing the peace. But one person, here is something the other angel says, you've got to listen to this. Now, those of you who've got kids who are graduated, and I don't know if my mom and dad, I always ended up intercepting the phone calls, because at that time in life, mom and dad didn't care to answer the phone, so us kids did it. And so I got all the recruiter calls. Well, Joshua's got one in particular who keeps calling him. Calling, and he always calls Angela's phone. I think, call mine and you'll understand that if he is going to enlist, he was going to do it already. Because my ring back tone is call a Marine. But anyhow, this recruiter, this Marine recruiter calls Angela. And he's like, hey, I'm just wondering what Josh is going to do after school, blah, 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 blah. And then, and she always, and her voicemail says, have a blessed day. And he turned around and said, have a blessed day. This is the Marine recruiter. But guess what? I don't know, is it Sergeant Hines? I think that's his name. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. But if not, because of that statement, he knows where we stand. And he knows we're Christians. Does your life reflect this? And listen, we're not getting into condemnation. We've been talking about that. I hope you get hold of that message. There's now, therefore, if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Okay? But you are in charge of what's happening now. Okay? I don't care who you are, your body does things it wants to do sometimes, right? Your stomach could gurgle at the wrong time. You could burp, or worse yet, in public. But you can control this stuff. There are things in your life you can control. There are things you can say, no, I'm putting my foot down. But we need to be paying attention to the fact that everything I do, everything I say to somebody can be a seed. I don't remember, it was years ago somebody taught me this saying, every deed is a seed. Oh, but pastor, I'm getting tired of sowing the seed. You know what? Somebody has got to be the planter. Somebody has to plant. And you've got to plant more than you reap sometimes. You can't always reap it all. So don't feel bad. Oh, I haven't actually led anybody to the Lord. Have you told anybody that God loves them? Well, yes, all the time. You're doing your part. Because the person who's over here on the street who's saying, do you know Christ? And the people come bawling and saying, I need to know this Christ. They wouldn't have come if you had never told them about God's love. It's all about seed. But the seed has got to have life in it. Today, the churches are full of people who don't believe in Christ. Why? Why is this? Why can we fill churches that bear His name and they don't believe Him? It's because there's no life in it. I heard a saying as a teenager, the Christians start dying the day they get born again. And I realized how true that statement was. We do. We start dying. Well, I can't ever have any fun anymore. I can't go do this anymore. There's certain things I don't want to do. I don't want to go to the honky-tonk anymore. Do you understand? I grew up in honky-tonks, bad places. My parents will testify. I had my own booth in the back of the bar. I had permission to go behind the bar. I always thought that little sink was so cool. Because the woman that actually was the bar maid, she wasn't much bigger than me. And I was 3. So, what kind of life are you letting Christ bring in? I told you, we have life in us. The seed is life. Oh, I got to go to church again. It's Sunday morning. It's beautiful out, and I got to go to church. You know what? You don't got to do anything. You don't have to do anything. I get to go to church. I want to go to church because I love seeing your faces. I love seeing everybody. I may not get to shake your hand and spend 10 minutes talking to each one of you, but I love seeing you. It does so much good for me. Because, you know, I've shared before, I think about quitting every other day. God, am I doing anything? The fact you keep coming back, and then we had to tear out the wall. tells me that maybe we are doing something right. And I said, we. Because this isn't all me. Because trust me, you don't want me singing. Eventually, we will be into a running formation, and that'll be the cadence, because that's really all I can carry a tune in. And you don't want me leading your children. I promise you that. I know how to use duct tape. But you see, we have to allow life into us. God, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it overflowing. But churches today are dead. One, we reject His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not brought upon the earth to make us spiritual goofballs. I am filled, I'm baptized in God's Holy Spirit. But I do not act like a goofball. My wife's up here making faces. I don't go walking down the store in Kroger's and praying in tongues. That's a personal thing for me. Yes, we do believe in that. But, well, Pastor, your church wasn't full of it this morning. Exactly. It's not for this assembly like this. It's for prayer time. You'll have to come sometime when I'm teaching on that to understand it. And no, it did not pass away when the Bible was collected and put together. Now, but Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life. How much life do we actually have flowing in us? You know, that was one of the things. A sinner of all people had to shake me up one time about something. I was getting a haircut. And I told her, I said, I need something professional looking. And she said, why? Because I just always wore something like this. And she said, I said, well, because I'm a pastor now. She said, what difference does that make? Well, yeah, no kidding. How about I just be me? See, that's the problem. We all think we come in a mold. I'm going to promise you, folks, I got through. Bill Cosby lied, or his daddy lied. Y'all remember what he said? He said, boy, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out, and I'll make another one just like you, and nobody will miss you. No, you can't make another one just like him. I got three sons, three tries, and none of them are alike. Although they do have the same streaks that run through them. I can see it quite often. Especially when we have to yell and go chasing them through the house. And then I go chasing and it just gets, yeah, it becomes four. But God made us as an individual. If He wanted you to look like somebody else, act like somebody else, He would have made you in the same mold as them. But He didn't. We've got brothers and sisters in here. Brothers and brothers. And you can probably tell all kinds of things on each other. But we won't, right, guys? I mean, this is my sister. Stand up, Barbie. She's on heels. I love my sister. She's blue-eyed. We're totally different. If God had wanted her to be me, He would have made her me instead of me. Hold on to that one. Sad part is you got it. At least some of you did. The rest of you, you'll be sitting here. So God has given us life for us to go out and propagate the earth with life, not death. That is why the Dark Ages are called the Dark Ages. There was no light in them. There was no good in them. Oh, well, Pastor, they were still called the Dark Ages. Because there was so much death, the church decided, you don't want to be like us, we'll kill you. Is that what Christ taught? Can anybody find that for me? Well, Bible says that Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. There it is. Yeah, and you misinterpreting scriptures again. Interpret them properly. Because Jesus also told Pilate, or Herod, Pilate. He said, if my kingdom were of this earth, my servants would have already risen up and overthrown you. In other words, that wasn't the route we were supposed to take. We brought death. The Dark Ages could have been the most glorious time. So guess what? We're getting the revelation now. We're supposed to be full of life, not full of death. You're not going to wake up every morning just because you got born again and you're going to wake up, whoa, I'm ready. Those of you who watch SpongeBob know what I'm talking about. It could be pouring rain and thunderstorm outside and you're like, really? It's Monday again. That doesn't change, does it? But I'll tell you what helped me out. I quit complaining about it being Monday. And I thank God for it. And I don't know the difference between one day and the next. There's actually several times Angela's like, hun, you ready for church? And I'm like, what? Oh, that's right. It's Wednesday. I thought it was still Monday. I don't really differentiate. And go, oh, Pastor, you should be a little. Listen, you be you and I'll be me. I've gotten along for nearly 44 years on this earth without you. Telling me what day it is, when to do things. And if it's really that bad, they'll send a cop to get me. If they really want me. So, we have life in us. That's the seed we show, we share. See, that's not what people hear. I don't tell people the kind of person I was just to... I definitely don't do it to glorify sin because there is no glory in sin. I tell them to shout, tell them there is life. There is a way out of it. And what I thought I was doing and having a good time... Well, in my mind, I thought I was having a good time. Really wasn't. Because God never came down and told me this, this, and this. I realized I could not do that anymore. I couldn't act like that anymore. I couldn't be like that anymore. Because I now had a revelation. I need to be him. I need closer to him. I need to be more like him. And he doesn't act like that jerk that's passed out over here. That took me a long time. I'm going to tell you another little secret, folks, and it's not really much of a secret if you know me. It's forgiveness. We've got to forgive people. You are allowed to forgive people. Newsflash. The church is allowed to forgive. But today, so many people, I don't care who, they are bound up. The littlest thing, and they just got their panties in a wad, and they can't think straight. Here, let me give you an example of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was on the cross and he forgave them. He forgave them as they're calling him names. They didn't put King of the Jews because they believed it. They did it to make fun of him. And yet, because somebody called us a name, a dirty name we didn't like, somebody did something else to us we didn't like, we just ain't ever going to talk to them again. Listen, I ain't saying you got to be best buds with everybody. You've heard me say that before. You ain't going to be best friends with everybody. Some of you probably think, oh, I'd like to be really good friends with Pastor. No, you probably wouldn't. If you hang out with me long enough, you're either going to get cut, a bone broken. It's not because I do it intentionally. It just happens. You're next. Well, he cut his own toes off. I just took him, brought him home from the hospital. Yeah, he thought he could move further to the back and evade it. Yeah, not happening. All right, so where the seed that was sown in the ground had life in it. So should our lives. So should the seed that we sow. Now let's go to verse 18. Same chapter, Matthew 13. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is who received seed by the wayside. This is somebody that nobody took the time to prepare the ground. The ground is hard. It's not going to take seed. You can even tell in a field where the ground was prepared, and then the drill might go off to the side just a little bit if they swing a little wide and get into that earth that wasn't tilled up and broken up. It'll start growing a plant, and it might get up about that big. But yet the stuff that was in the ground that was prepared and nurtured and everything will probably be about like this. That's what he's talking about. The stuff on the side that nobody took the time to get ready. That's our job. And sometimes, folks, you may be the plow. You may be the one that has to go in and break that up. Listen, you aren't recalled to be a plow for everybody. Let's get this through out here now. I can talk to some people, but I can't talk to everybody. Okay? There are people I can just go right out, flat out, and just talk to them straight. And I can talk to them in a way that they know that I've been there. Okay? But you might be able to talk to somebody else that would never even listen to me. That's what he's talking about. So don't ever sit there and think, well, I just come to church all the time. Well, listen, I do believe that people, if you're in a church, you should be a part of it. You feel like you're a part of it. That's why we have members and not partners. You're a member. The Bible says we are members. You know, my hand, thank God, is still a member of my body. If it weren't, I wouldn't be able to sign my name because I've tried to do it left-handed. And believe it or not, it's worse. Sometimes you can't, well, some people say, oh, you got good writing for a guy. Why can't I read it? And I wrote it. So that was the first part. The seed that fell on the ground that was on the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Folks, these stones... I did a message years and years ago, and I'm gonna do it again because it was a good message. But the stones are the things in our heart, the issues that we hold on to. We hold on to. Are you hearing me? We hold on to the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the resentment, the jealousies, the anger, the temptations. These are things we won't let go. They are the stones in our heart. And they prevent us. We receive the word with joy because why? We see the life in it. We see the freedom. But because the word says, if your hand offends you, cut it off, we get offended and we stumble and we walk away from God. That's exactly what he just said. I knew a guy years ago. He stood up in our church in North Carolina and he gave a testimony how God delivered him from homosexuality. He was just newborn Christian. 6 months later, he went back to it. Why? To because he couldn't let go of the things, the issues. And by the way, if you're sitting here, yes, it is a sin. Let's not go getting goofy with it. But so is lying, so is cheating, so is stealing, so is killing. Anything else? So is sleeping around. So let's leave it there, okay? I don't hate the person. I'm not a homophobe, as everybody likes to classify us. But when my Bible says that it's a sin, it's a sin. And I understand why. There's no life in it. None. Every relationship God created on this planet has life. Oh, but homosexual couples are having babies all the time. They're stealing life from somebody else. Because we all understand basic genetics, right? You understand plumbing too? Okay. If not, we got some pipe next door and I can show you. Don't want to, but all right. Verse 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Here is probably the most dangerous ground to be in. The ground with weeds. Our cares. Anybody got a care? You can all lift your hand. Everybody has a care. It's when those cares outpower the Word of God, outpower what He's calling you to do. When we live by our cares, we choke out, we nullify the Word of God. Well, this is my tradition. Well, Jesus said, your traditions have nullified the Word of God. You can have traditions, they're great. Traditionally, I get up, brush my teeth, go eat. And I find that if I break out of my tradition and I go eat first, I might forget to brush my fangs. And that could be real detrimental down the road. Not necessarily for me because, you know, the guy with the bad breath can't smell it, can he? And if you can, well, they make Banaca. When the cares of this life, folks, he's talking about everything. If a thing is in your life and it can take and kick you out of God's will, you know in your heart that God, I've had people tell, oh, pastor, this is God's will. I'm going to get in it. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You come right on in. Let's get this thing going. And then they pick up a hobby. Hobbies are great. As long as they don't overrule God. Are we hearing? Years ago, friends of ours in the church, they got a boat. Oh, Art and Angela, I mean, we're both about the same age. Let's go boating. All right, when do you want to go? Well, we can only go on Sunday. Because I worked on Saturday. And I said, well, we can go on Sunday. Oh, no, we got to start in the morning in order to get enough boating in. I'll be honest with you, I get a little motion sickness easy. So a couple hours is good for me. Last time I saw him, he was walking around with the Budweiser in his hand and went and got on his motorcycle. Not a good combination. I still have yet to figure out why poker runs have to go to bars. Are we really doing the math here? They drink at least one and we stop six or seven times. It makes no sense. My last one I went, and they're actually kind of fun to ride on. My last one I said, you know, I won't ride unless they're Christians, if I'm riding with Christians. Because I was riding with a big group, second division, it's a military group. They're just a bunch of wannabes. That's all they were. them and the Leathernecks. They were just waiting for them to break out the chains and the switchblades and guns just so they could all act like thugs. But my hobby and my heart started taking precedence. And I realized, well, God gave me my family first. So my hobby's got to go for a while. That's why I said, I'll get another motorcycle. And guess why I got this funny feeling? I'm going to build it just like I did the last one. But it's not to take the place of my family. It's not to take the place of my job. It's not to take the place of you. And for me, it was starting to do that. It was a place I'd run to instead of God. I used to talk to God on it. That was a great thing, man. I'd get on there, man, I could talk to God. But for me personally, it started becoming my God. It became a bad thing. It started becoming a care of this world. So, do you understand what I'm saying? Hobbies are great. I like to go hunting. I like to go fishing. I don't do them as much as sometimes as I'd like to. Me personally, I don't want to hunt on Sunday. I believe in giving God's creation one day of rest, like they used to in years gone by. But now it's hunt all day, 7 days a week. But I'm not going to get legalistic about it. I think I have hunted on one Sunday. Now, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. He or who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Folks, there's some things I'm going to share with you here in a minute that I'm hoping will set you free in whatever it is you do. Okay? And the reason I'm going to say it this way is because I want you to understand God loves you for who you are. Okay? The harvest, 100, 60, 30. It's not that anybody was slacking. Not that anybody was dragging their feet, not working. If you read the parable of the talents, Jesus said that the master gave to each servant the number of talents according to their ability. Did you hear that? To their ability. Quit judging yourself on Joyce Meyer's level. God gave her the ability to do what she does. God gave Billy Graham the ability to do what he does or did. And what he has sparked now goes far beyond even that. God has given them the ability. God has given me the ability to be up here. Okay? But God has not given me the ability to be the pastor of a mega church. I don't want it. Or you don't want all that. No, I don't. Thank you. I want to stay in touch with my church. Stay in touch with my people. That when they see me getting my sweet tea in my dirty pickup truck at McDonald's, they can say, "Hey, Pastor." There are people who are anointed for that. But personally, I think they should break them up. It's my opinion, okay? I think they should be broken up into their communities. Because here's the downside to churches that get too huge. People hide. People come in to hide. They don't want fixed. They tell themselves, "I'm going to church, so I'm good." They never accept Christ. They have no idea what the preacher just said because they were sleeping the whole service. And if they weren't sleeping, they were sitting back there supposedly with their Kindle reading the Bible, but yet they were probably reading Gone with the Wind. Because that's usually how they are. Gone with the Wind. That's my opinion, okay? I'm not saying people with large churches are sinners. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying I think they need to be smaller so that people can actually have this kind of contact. Unless God comes down and says something else, I don't plan on doing anything else other than making some modifications in here. That's it. Some parking area. I'm not building a Coliseum. I wouldn't want to see the bill for building something like that anyhow. I'm getting estimates on adjusting the parking lot. And it's been a while since I've looked at anything like that. But you see, God's not judging me on Rod Parsley's level, on John Hagee's level. He's judging me on what the abilities he gave me. Years ago, I remember hearing Andrew Womack talk about this. I think it was his very first preaching opportunity. Anyhow, they were expecting a big crowd. He had a big venue open, rented, and he goes out and he said, there's 9 people. He's like, God, but I've got a message in me for 9,000 people. That's the way I feel. God, more people need to hear this. Can I tell you something? If each one of you just tell one person just a little bit of what I said today, this message just went out about 60-fold. Are you hearing me? 60 times the effort. Just one person. That's all you got to tell. Just say one thing. It could be a loved one. It could be somebody you could encourage. Something you got. Maybe something Katie got and Rob didn't, or Rob got and Katie didn't. That happens all the time with us. We're like, she's like, I just got this. I'm like, well, it's about time. I figured that out a while back. Or she says, and I'm like, that's interesting. I never thought of it from that standpoint. Okay? But you see, God's not going to be judging you. When you get to heaven, he's going to say, all right, well, let's see, I called Smith Wigglesworth when he was, 70? Something like that. Yeah, I called you when you were 40 and you didn't do half of what he did. That's okay. Actually, I think God probably called Smith Wigglesworth earlier than that. Smith just answered the call later in life and had a lot of catch up to play. But the truth of the matter is, he's not. He's going to say, Angela, I gave you the ability for 5 talents. You did good. Have we ever paid attention to that whole parable? All we ever really focus on is the one who went and buried it. We never focus on the fact he said, I'm not going to judge you. I mean, please. You know, Sean and I are about the same height. I mean, he's just a hair bit, maybe a little taller. But please, do not judge our lifting abilities based on the fact I'm older. Because I promise you, he could bench press my weight twice, maybe more. Probably, I think more. I'm about 180. So probably a little over twice. Yeah. See, me? I'll be lucky to bench press my own weight now. But you can't judge us based on each other's. He's got an ability I don't have now. And it's one I've lost any desire to do, to be honest with you. I see the hands going up. But I praise God for people like him, because tell you what, when we were hanging that drywall up top there the other day, he and I'm glad he was on the bottom, because I ran out of strength halfway up the ladder. I'm like, oh, geez, this thing's heavy. But you see, God called me for this place. God called me to do this. God called you for certain things. Some of them you'll grow into. You know, you can ask Angela, when we first started the church, I was like, oh man, I can see it now. 1,000 people. Well, it's 13 years later and we're bumping mid-80s. 13 years. We've been here 8 years now. We've doubled in size. I'm going to be an old man by the time I hit 1,000. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what God's put in me. I was starting to judge myself by other people's standards. I was starting to put myself, well, they did this, I should do this. I should build a big ministry. I should name the ministry after me. I should do this, I should do that. You know what? I finally got free from all that. I had people trying to mold me into their image, what they thought I should be. Oh, brother, you should be doing this. I had one person, you should be in Europe doing this. Why? Finally, I started asking why. Well, it's a good thing. I don't mean I should do it. Maybe you should. I don't know. I just know I like being incognito and talking to people. That's why I told this other fellow the other day, you know, he's cleaning my septic tank. He's got a real glorious job. But he's got a job, he gets to talk to a lot of people because they need him. And I said, this is what I always liked about being in construction. I'd show up just wearing my work boots, my blue jeans and a t-shirt, ball cap, and then find out they needed some prayer. I said, I never told them I was a Christian or a pastor. And I usually don't tell people I'm a Christian. I really hope my life speaks for itself. That's why you don't see me wearing bling, with, you know, crosses and, you know, kiss my big ring and all this stuff. I would hope that your life speaks for itself too. That when people see you, they see the love of Christ. That they get to experience who Christ is. Instead of the condemnation that most people think of when they hear of the word Christian. You're judging me, you're judging me. There's some people they're always going to be shouting at because the Holy Spirit's convicting them. But I never liked telling people I was a pastor because I told them, I said, the second I told them I was a pastor and I was there to give an estimate on their roof, I spent 2 hours counseling. But yet they didn't want to go to church. Where are pastors at? Has anybody figured that out? They in church. I don't personally believe in spending a lot of time counseling. You know why? Because I know a counselor who's so much better than me. Because I might tell you something that's just totally fleshly. Well, here's what you ought to do. You take a cow pie, you get an M80, you stick it in there, and you put it in a bag and stick it in their mailbox and run. That's not how you want to handle that situation. Or any situation, by the way. That's a federal offense, just so you know. You did not hear it from me. I will cover my tracks and say I told you not to do it. But you see, the truth of the matter is, we're supposed to be seeds of life. We're supposed to be living plants. The Bible says we're grafted into the vine. We've been taken out of the weed patch and grafted into a vine that produces luscious fruit. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us, is to think on those lines. How can I produce more fruit? How can I be more like Christ? That's all you've got to ask yourself every day. How can I be more like Christ today? And I'm going to tell you, folks, it's just like asking God for patience. Anybody ever been crazy enough to... You probably did it one time, right? God, help me with my patience. Do you know what God gives you to help you with your patience? Anybody ever watched Bruce? Is it Bruce Almighty? Bruce Almighty, I think it was. Yeah. He said, you know, Morgan Freeman's playing God. And he said, if somebody asks me for something, what do? I give them an opportunity. It's the truth. You ask God for patience, you get the opportunity to grow patience. Sean didn't start out bench pressing 400 pounds. He had to start someplace and start developing those muscles. And when you don't keep developing those muscles, you get a body like mine. So you take the pick which two you want. Don't ever think God hates you. Don't ever think that he's mad at you. Listen, even when you're sitting here thinking, oh God, but I disappointed you so bad. You want to know something? He already knew you was going to do it. He's not nearly as disappointed as you thought he is. He already knew you were going to do it. He already knows whether you're going to sit there and lay in the pig wallow. Oh, boo hoo 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 hoo. Woe is me. Woe is me. What do I do? Or are you going to be like the prodigal son, come to your senses, and say, you know what? I'm tired of smelling like a pig. And if you've never had that glorious opportunity, well, we can arrange that for you. You will not want to do it again, will they? Clint works for Horde Hog Farms, so he knows all about that. I used to do work, carpentry work on some of their barns, and I didn't even come in contact with the pigs or the manure or nothing. And it took weeks for the aroma just to get out of my truck. Are you going to be like that prodigal son? Come to your senses and run back to the Father. Okay, I'll ask you this. Out of the story of the prodigal son, who was the most sorrowful character in the whole thing? You can say it out loud. Well, actually, it was the fatted calf. Angela asked me that the other day. I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess the other brother was pretty sorry the way he acted and all this, but, you know, and I'm not meaning sorry as an apologetic, but, and I said, well, I guess maybe the father was full with sorrow, but I said he was also full of expectancy, and he was always looking for that son to come back. Why? Because he expected that son. He knew that son would come back. Why? Because the character of the father was in the son. That's why he knew it. So, you know, folks, you can't keep judging yourself by somebody else. You can't judge yourself by their standard. Oh, I wish I could play like those musicians do. I wish I could sing like those singers do. But I'm just... Recognize if singing's not your talent, recognize it. I did. I mean, in the shower, I think I can still sound like Elvis. Garth Brooks from time to time. But gone are the days of my doo-wop and a wee. Just something about preaching and talking all the time is just, it's gone. Recognize God gave you talents for certain things, and you may not be talented in all these areas. You may not be the one that God said, oh yeah, I need you to go and do that. How many of you ever seen the spoof, Holy Moses, with Dudley Moore? Anybody remember what I'm talking about, or am I really? It's actually kind of hilarious. Dudley Moore's character is on the other side of the rock in the bush when Moses is getting his command from God. And he thinks he's called to deliver Israel. He's always a step behind Moses I may have to go look that up. But you see, he was always, what God maybe have called him to do, he got lost track because he thought he was supposed to be doing something else. Do we want to be the largest church? No, I want to be the most effective. Large doesn't mean anything. I want to be effective. The largest military doesn't always win the battles. Because I happen to be reading a book about General Washington. We were severely outnumbered in the Revolutionary War. Severely, I mean, I'm reading the accounts, and the guy that wrote this book is supposedly the best professor of historical significance on men like Washington, and that's why he was asked to write this book. But in this book, folks, he describes the situation of my great-grandfather. Half of them were naked. They said they were naked. They didn't have shoes. They didn't have clothes. They were losing people in marches as they're walking down the road. The guys are dying because they're so cold. The odds were against us. But with God and the determination, because folks, it does take something from you, we won. We won. The vast majority of battles in the United States' history, with Germany, with Japan, we were outnumbered. Iwo Jima, we were not outnumbered. We sent 70,000 Marines and soldiers onto an island that only had 20,000 Japanese. It still took us a month to kick them off of it. They were determined. I read the book from the general that was commanding that. With God, folks, all things are possible. So your mission in life, no matter where you may be, baking bread, hanging drywall, finishing drywall. As the boys say, serving up the slop at school. Spraying a field, plowing a field. You're going to come in contact with people all the time, no matter where you're at. That's why I don't believe everybody wants to run off. I can't understand why they all want to run off out into the wilderness and build a commune and everybody live there. When God said, go into all the world, not run off and live in a commune. I like you, but I don't like you that much. In my mind, living in town is as close to a commune I want to live in. I enjoy not having neighbors right next door, let alone living in a building where a whole family's living next door. I've done that before too. You grow up and you live in Cleveland and Columbus and apartment buildings, and yeah, the big city just loses its excitement. I'd rather sit out on my front porch twiddling my thumbs trying to figure out what I'm going to do instead of, hey, let's go to here, let's go to there, let's go to there. Get up and sit up and enjoy what God has created. But I'm going down a different road, so let's stand. And if you hadn't figured it out, it was a dirt road. There's some of you in here, I want you to understand, God's not mad at you. He's not. Contrary. You can't. You got to understand something about God's anger. He doesn't lose control. He deals with the problem, but he never stops loving us. But he always, 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 always extends mercy further than we probably ever would to get us to come back. But he's not angry with you. He loves you. So if that's just for one person, take it. If it's for all of you, take it. I have to remind myself often, God's not mad at me. I'm not a sinner in the hand of an angry God. That was the message for that time. Because that's the unfortunate side. That's all we see God as, is a big, mean bully instead of a loving Heavenly Father. I'm going to throw a challenge at you. If you don't know Christ, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. We're not even going to pray. Okay? Because you can come up here 10 times a week and walk out those doors changed. I know. I did it a few times myself. If you don't know Christ like that, you take the time and hit your knees with him. Humble yourself before God and ask him to come into your life, to change you, and help you accept those changes, because not all of them are fun. Because some of them, he's going to make you, man, you can tell I like to watch movies. The Count of Monte Cristo, when Mercedes asks in the movie, when Mercedes asks him to let it go, and he said, "Don't take my hatred. It's all I've got left." He was so full of hate, he couldn't see the life ahead of him, the life that had been denied him. And some of us are holding on to that kind of stuff. We're saying, "Oh God, don't take that, don't take that." When you let God take that hatred, your life is not the same. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for your word, Lord God, and how it changes us, how it teaches us your character. Father, help us now all to develop that character in our own lives. Lord, I pray now that as each person examines their own heart, Father, that you will even help them to accept changes that you've been trying to get them to make and they won't, but that would be more beneficial to them. I ask, Lord, that for all of us, you help us to quit judging ourselves by the standards set by others. As I do not stand in judgment of Kenneth Hagin, Charles Stanley, Charles Capps, Kenneth Copeland, I don't stand up to judgment to any of them, but I stand up to judgment to you and the abilities you gave me. So, Father, I pray now that you help us all to understand that. That our abilities will grow in time. Just as even you taught us in the parable of the talents. That you doubled what they had because they did. You gave them more. But, Father, that if we refuse to use our talents, we refuse to use our abilities, that we will lose that. So, Father, I bless these people today. I ask, Lord God, that as they go out this week, you bless the work of their hands. Bless their businesses, Father. Bring prosperity to them as they glorify your name. Lord, I pray right now that you touch their homes. Fill them with love and with peace, Father. Father, and those that may be dealing with sickness, I ask, Father, that you touch them and heal them. Clear sinuses, clear congestion, Father, just because the weather's changing, just because pollen counts are going up, you did not create us to have to suffer this. So, Father, I thank you right now that you are developing immune systems up to stand against this. Father, that these things that normally have bothered us will not bother us. Again, bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.